Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. I'm going to ask Mike to please lead us in a word of prayer.
Sure. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the mothers this day.
Yes, Lord.
Father, just to watch over. Help us to understand what you're trying to show us through this hour. Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, this morning, the last time we got together, I think we were in Matthew chapter 15, and I believe we went to verse 14. Does that tie in with what you think, buddy?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I got on there 1 to 14.
14.
When we were at, did y'all have it last week?
No.
No, I did not.
We missed you guys, so we just decided not to have it.
No.
I wound up going home.
Monkey stopped those.
She wasn't. Kathy wasn't feeling good anyway. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so let's start at 15 and let's go to 20. Brenda, is it your turn?
It's my turn, baby. Mm-hmm. All right, 15 and chapter 15. All right, so it's Matthew chapter 15, and we're starting at verse
15.
And we're going to what?
20.
To what?
To 20. 20, yes.
All right. But Peter said to him, explain this proverb, this maxim to us. And he said, are you also even yet dull and ignorant and without understanding and unable to put things together? Do you not see and understand that whatever goes into the mouth passes on to the place where discharges are deposited? But whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And this is what makes a man unclean and defiles him. For out of the heart come evil thoughts and reasonings, disputings and designs, such as murder, adultery, sexual vice, theft, false witnessing, slander, and irreverent speech. These are what make a man unclean and defile him. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean or defile him.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So this happened when he gave the same type of he called the multitude, and he gave them this parallel because the. It wasn't really a parable. It was the disciples came in and said, don't you know you made the big shots angry at what you said? Because he was pretty rough on them. And
yeah, I mean, first, there were complaints against them shucking and doing some corn.
Yes.
And there was a complaint from the hypocrites. Because that's what they were.
Well, you know what I think is interesting is that what the Pharisees was yelling at Jesus about had nothing to do with even the commandments of God. It had to do with the traditions of men, the traditions of the elders. And what makes the word of God of no effect? The traditions of the elders.
Yes.
Yes. And so, but what did he turn around and say, okay, but here's what you guys do. And it was to honor not their mother and their father, which even though it's true we don't live under the commandments or under the law any longer at that time, you know, that was a commandment of God. And so it was the word of the Lord, and then Jesus had every right to come back at them with that, even though what they were saying was downright puffed up, egotistical, better than you, spiritualness, or, you know, puffed up self-righteousness.
But she told them about their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And them telling us what he told about mm-hmm. our hearts.
Mm-hmm. And that's, he was, they were proving what he said by their own accusations. They were proving. And yet, then later, and they talk about they're blind, they're leading the blind into a ditch. And then both shall fall into the ditch. And then we start at verse 15, which is our verses for today. And the heading at that verse in my Bible says, the heart of man. And mm-hmm. this is very true. Because now he's speaking just to his apostles and to the disciples. And they're saying, declare unto us this parable. Well, it wasn't really a parable, but, you know, that's good enough. And Jesus said, sometimes he asks, you know, these questions that we should really take heed of. Jesus said to them, are ye also yet without understanding? Mm-hmm. You know, you've been with me so long and you still don't understand what it is that I'm telling to the Pharisees. You shouldn't be of the mindset of the Pharisees any longer. And yet, I find that people who come out of, you know, a Ten Commandment church where, you know, you wear your hair a certain way, or churches that have, let's just say, recommendations, or, you know, they have the word of the Lord, and they even tried to follow the Ten Commandments, and yet no one can. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, but, you know, he says, are you still without understanding? And I don't think he said that accusingly. You know, I think he was kind of testing that. You know, do you really not understand that? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth, it's out here, it's not part of you, it's going into your mouth and goes into your belly, and it's cast out into the draught. Well, I think they say it's a draft. Mm-hmm. I looked that word up a little bit. It was kind of interesting because it comes from two words that says to go and sit alone, which brings you to a privy.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's the two compound words, or the two compounds that make that word. Go and sit alone, which reminds me an awful lot of being a kid. And that's exactly what would happen to us when we got punished. Go to your room, mm-hmm. go and sit alone, you know, think about what you've done. But the only time that word is in the New Testament is in the two, in Matthew and Mark, telling the same story. So let's get back here to Matthew. So he said that it goes out of the belly and it's cast into the draft, mm-hmm. or the draft. I think make a draft. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They have nothing to do with that. It's a whole different system of your body. You know, one is physical, one is spiritual. It's like comparing apples and oranges. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Okay? Anybody want to go on with kind of carry on a little bit with going deeper into any of those truths?
Well, if you think about the natural heart, your natural heart, Scripture tells you that the life of the flesh is in the blood. You think about what your heart does. It distributes the blood throughout your whole body. But the heart is directed only by your mind or your brain, as it's an involuntary reaction, you know. And the heart can't function without the brain telling it to function. So that's why we have to realize that he's talking about source of life and it being distributed, you know, and yet he's using a natural thing and a spiritual thing at the same time. And the spiritual thing being really, he's talking about your thoughts, your feelings, and your mind, you know, is what he's really talking
Romans
about.
Romans comes your intent, your motives.
Right. Because Strong's definition of the word cardia or heart, you know, is it's kind of primarily, it's figuratively the thoughts or the feelings or the mind. So that's what it really amounts out to. Everybody goes, oh, my heart, you know, my mind. You know, and you know, sometimes when something happens, you do feel a funny feeling in your heart. You know what I mean? Like down in your chest. I mean, you literally feel funny. But it's because your mind is interrupting a signal that goes to life. It's causing life to flow in you. You know, it gets you upset or something. And, you know, I used to laugh when I used to watch Sanford and Son. You know, Fred was always grabbing his heart and ball. every time something was, I'm coming, Elizabeth. Every time something was said or something he didn't like, you know, he was always doing that. But to a certain extent, it's even funny because even your natural heart, your actual heart that beats blood, it does react sometimes to emotional things. You know what I mean?
Terrible grief for grief.
For grief and a lot of different things. Yeah.
Broken heart actually has affected them physically.
Yeah, but that actually, it actually comes from your mind sending that message down to your heart, you know, the thing that disperses life in your body. So when we come to realize that, that's why we have to seek the mind of Christ. And the way we seek it really is by letting the mind of Christ be in us, you know. And how do you let something? I mean, you let something by acknowledging it and by letting go and giving it control, you know what I mean? And
it's being open.
Being open,
committed,
yeah. Right.
Submitted.
Submitted, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, I was trying to think of the scripture the Lord gave me one time years ago. He gave me a scripture that said, the perfect law of liberty. He was dealing with me about the perfect law of liberty. Mm-hmm. And when he was dealing with me about the perfect law of liberty, I believe he spoke to my heart and he said, the perfect law of liberty is submission. And that's almost a oxymoron, you know, I mean, or where they call it, where it's how you submit to be in liberty, you know what I mean? But in Christ, that's true. You have to submit yourself under the mighty hand of God and acknowledge him in all your ways, and then he will direct your paths. You know what I mean? And when we learn that secret of submission and submission to even the authority that he puts us under, the things that he puts us under, unless it goes totally contrary to him, you know what I mean? Then that we're way ahead of the game when we do that. And I believe that's where we really begin to function. Now, not really out of the heart of man, but out of the heart of God, you know.
I think that's especially true experientially in my life, mm-hmm. with the will. My will, because I go in and out of it also, when my will is in submission to the will of God, that is when I feel the freest.
One of the definitions that we give for the soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Well, what gets us in trouble most of the time if we say or do the wrong thing, isn't it your emotions?
Mm-hmm.
You get emotional, and it all becomes all about you instead of all about whatever the situation or circumstance is. And when we come to a place where he that loves his psuche, soul, will lose it. And he that loses his psuche, soul, for my sake, will keep it unto Zoe, unto the eternal life. And that's where, you know, we have to be willing to submit our soulish life to him. And when we do that, he becomes the covering. He's the husband. The spirit becomes the covering, the husband that covers us, you know. And then the two begin to become one in that situation. And then there's the marriage supper of the Lamb taking place inside of you to a certain extent, you know. And that's where the soul submits to the spirit. And I've heard other preachers say this many times over the years, but a few other preachers, where they said the word psuche, you know, the Greek word for soul. And they do a play on words, and the name was Sue and Kay, two women's names. And we all have that feminine aspect when we deal with the Lord, in the sense that he's the husband and we're the bride of Christ, you know what I mean? And when we bring that into submission to him, that's like even Jesus, he had to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he had to say, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And it was possible. I mean, it literally was possible. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So he had to bring that emotional part of him, the will, you know, into submission to the Father totally. And you know, a lot of times people don't realize Jesus was the perfect pattern man, but he also was a fleshly man too.
Yes.
He had to be tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin,
yes,
that he might be the spotless lamb that would lay down his life for the redemption of all mankind, you know. And when we come to realize that, then, you know, it makes us understand that, yeah, we can't live by those Ten Commandments, but he could. You know, he literally could, because he was the fulfillment of the law, you know, where we can't fulfill the law other than by coming under the umbrella of grace. And when we come under the umbrella of grace, then we fulfill the law by what he did, not by what we do, you know. I didn't expect to say all that. You know, I wasn't planning on saying anything hardly. Praise the Lord. But you know, it's really good when you think about it. And the natural things do declare the things of the Spirit, in the sense that your natural body, it tells you a lot of things. You know what I mean?
You know, before we were talking about, I said in my experience, and because we keep going in and out of those things right now.
Right.
And I find that in my daily life, I have to keep myself constantly aware of God, period. God, of who he is, of what he is, of what he's done, of who I am in him, who he says I am in him. And if I do that, then I can walk in that peace. But I was thinking of Philippians chapter 4, and this is a wonderful way for me to stay in that place. But that's where I have to work hard. I can be in that place with certain limitations of the fallen body that I'm in, but even that, it has to be developed, and it's a process, and you have to learn and learn obedience to that process as well. But it's especially Philippians 4:8.
For what?
4:8.
Mm-hmm.
It says, finally, brethren, this is what I need to do daily in my life, mm-hmm. when I'm walking around dealing with people. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Just keep your heart and your mind absorbed with these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do.
Mm-hmm.
Do those things, and the God of peace shall be with you.
Yes.
That would be a wonderful, you know, if I could have it tattooed on the inside of my eyeballs, I'd be good.
Don't you think, though? I think what I found, sometimes we try so hard to be, to do. I have found that the greater our relationship is with Him, and we become more sensitive in knowing His voice, that right now, when you do something, He's quick to show you, and in that place is for you to submit, commit, and let Him do within and flow through. Bud and I went to this, it was my niece, and had a marriage, and said we went. It was like a marriage counselor, you know, thing. And then, since I was a relative, they invited us to come and free, so we went. And they shared with us from when they were first married. I remember when they first were married, I went closer around them. I was aware of them and things they went through and was ready to divorce and everything. But the thing that God did in them, really through their greater relationship individually with Him, that proceeded in doing the work and bringing them. And it's made me, hearing them share, and it's made me more conscious, even in our marriage, that God is quick to show you. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. And I have said things to Buddy, and I get in the other room, and God said, what if He said that to you? You know, He's kind of right now, quickly, that. How would you feel? Which causes me to repent,
mm-hmm.
and to go to Him, talk out, or ask for forgiveness, mm-hmm. or whatever. And I think it all comes because we're all being processed. And the greatest thing is our relationship. You all been married way longer than me, because when I was married before, I really wasn't, because I was not in a relationship. I was married and wasn't. So you were never, I could count over all them years, the time we've been together. So there was no really developing anything. So all this became new when me and I fell so many times. He's so patient, forgiving. But I thank God that He is the one that's developing us. He is the one that is. And I just have found the more we are knowing Him, and God was saying to me, what you give yourself to, you become. So even now, like you're talking about our intent and motive and that, the more we're giving ourselves to Him, the more we're drawing from Him, how greater is the relationship and the closeness and knowing His voice. Sometimes it ain't nothing but a little ping.
Mm-hmm.
You know when they talk, I'm just a little ping. And you, yeah. That God is showing you, this is not of me, this is you.
Mm-hmm.
Look to me, allow me to do that Christ is being formed greater. I'll be having, but through our experiences and the situations and the growth and the maturing, is he becomes greater, that it's no longer us, but it's him. This is what I'm seeing and learning. Brother Oscar ain't saying nothing. He's looking where you're saying what you're saying.
I was just looking at something. No, that was good. That's good what you said.
You remember that movie that girl said, love means you never have to say you're sorry. And I'm going, yeah, right.
It's just the opposite of
that.
It's
just
love is saying you're sorry a lot.
Over and ready to, yes.
Dig deeply. Mm. And those two little marbles rubbing together make two beautiful smooth stones. Eventually.
You know what happens when you won't say you're sorry? That just means that your ego and your pride won't let you say you're sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easier to say I'm sorry to someone than it is to go around with a lot of hurt feelings and know that you've hurt their feelings and all that kind of stuff and deal with that hurt for years and years and years. I mean, then once you do that, it's taken that burden off of you. And then it's up to them to forgive you or not forgive you.
That's right.
Don't forgive you, they have to carry that.
That's between them and God.
Yeah, they have to
carry that. You have to answer to him for yourself. What he is wanting of you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You have to do your part. You can only do your part in anything. That's what we have to come to realize. We can't. It's like going back to what Mother told me years ago about knowing God for yourself.
Mm. Yes.
Nobody else can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're carrying guilt or heaviness or whatever it is towards somebody else, and you know, or that you've hurt somebody else, if you're not willing to tell them you're sorry, then you're going to carry that thing, and it's going to be like a stumbling stone to you the rest of your life, you know. And it's going to keep coming up and keep coming up and keep
it's
coming
really
up.
It's really a thing between you and God. I mean, he says, mm-hmm. you come to the altar, you know, if you have something, what's he tell you to do? You're supposed to go straight down.
Yeah.
Then come back. You know.
Well, see, you have to realize that when you have something between you and somebody else, you really have something between you and God also.
Yes.
At the same time. Remember what David said in the Psalms where he said, create in me a clean heart, you know, all this and that. And he said, against you, talking about the Lord, and you alone,
yes.
have I done this.
Mm-hmm.
See, well, what did he say? When you do this to the least of my brethren, you did what?
Unto me.
Unto me, see. Well, that pulls that right together. You know, that's where we have to be willing to say we're sorry to somebody else. And then once you do that, that releases you. And hopefully it releases them also, you know. But that you have no control over that part of it. That's between them and God, just like it's between you and God when you go to somebody and tell them that.
And you know, people, when you're around them, they know. They feel your vibe for what.
Right.
People and are not, if you don't forgive someone and you're around them, you don't have to open your mouth. They know it.
Well, see, a lot of people think that telling somebody that you're sorry or that's a sign of weakness. That's not a sign of weakness. That's actually a sign of strength, because you're willing to open yourself up and say, hey, I was wrong in this. You know what I mean? It's not easy to say you're wrong, you know, when you're wrong. Most people would rather never say they're wrong, you know, in the natural. But, you know, it takes a lot more manliness, godliness, whatever you want to call it, to admit you're wrong when you're wrong, you know.
It humbles you. If you really want
it
God,
does.
I tell
it
you,
does.
And Buddy knows, the one that is an individual in our family, oh, and I might as well, I just, you got to be open, God knows your heart. I said, I cannot stand her. I was telling God, the things she was saying, the things she was doing, and all this, and I mean, not just with mouth, physical, but all, just. And I remember saying to God, and I was telling Betty, if it wasn't for her kids, I'd tell you, it had nothing to do with her. And Betty just looked at me and said, oh, yes, you would. And she didn't say nothing else because when I got alone, it got me to all want to cry. That God said, yes, you would, because I love her and I want you to love her. And I thought, how am I going to ever love this girl? And God said, pray for her.
You know,
you cannot continue to pray for someone.
Yeah.
That God does not do a work in your heart.
Yes.
And it's been over the years, and it's still been off and on with her responses. But in the midst of it, God has put a love in my heart for her. And she has told me, even just recently, I am ashamed of things. Because she would say, I'm not speaking to you ever again. I went on nothing to you, right? But nose and that. And my one friend said, I would have nothing to do with her. All she does is hurt you. Say, I said, no. Because I have a love that did not come from me. He developed it in me. And I look at even with the body of Christ and the things that we go through with one another. You know, we hit edge. We got sharp edges and some things that God is. We're being rubbed against each other.
Right.
And what is he doing? Perfecting us. He's doing a work in us.
That's right.
That we be him. Mm-hmm. And she said, how a shame. And I told her, I said, love is the one that I was telling her, letting her know how love is, and this is what, you know, and I just have a love for her. And she told me she knows I love her.
Yeah.
Because she is active like, and still does off and on, because God is dealing with her, and he has blessed her, and he'll let me know. She says, I feel blessed. She's told me times that things that God has done for her and needs that he has met, and she knows is him. So I thank God for that. And I think that's with all of us. All of us has got someone or something that God is wanting us to, and we know who it is that we have went through with, and that God wants us to forgive them and love them if they never open their mouth and show that they care for us in any way, because God is looking at us and our responses and how we are reacting and what we are doing and how much we want to be pleasing to him. And I just thank God for what he's doing. Thank you.
That's good.
For what he's doing.
I went to a seminar years ago, and when I went to a seminar, it was called Basic Youth Conflicts was the name of the seminar.
Uh-huh.
And that the guy told a story about his brother and about his younger brother buying this pair of shoes and working on his paper route to get this nice pair of shoes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he gets this nice pair of shoes, and then he wants to show up to his older brother because he's so proud of that he's worked hard and got these shoes and everything. And when he shows them to his brother says, those are the ugliest shoes I ever seen. And they said, later on that day, the older brother goes outside and sees the shoes in the garbage can. Mm-hmm. And him and his brother were never close. And, you know, later, years later, he gets into ministry, the older brother gets into ministry, and you know, he's ministering to all these people around the world.
The older brother?
The older brother, who ministered to all these people around the world and everything. And then the Lord starts dealing with him. And him and his brother never were close. And the Lord starts dealing with him about going back and making some things right that he had done wrong. And what he told, what he felt like the Lord told him to do was to call his brother up and tell him, you know, when you were a kid and you did, you bought those shoes and stuff, and he said, and I said to you what I said. He said, I'm really sorry. He said, I felt like I was not supposed to make any excuses or anything else, or say, well, you know, I felt, you know, don't try to justify what you said. Just simply say, I'm sorry that I hurt you. Please forgive me, you know. He said all of a sudden that brother who hadn't hardly talked to him for years and stuff lived in California, and he said he was like on the other coast, I guess it was. And he said, all of a sudden, he says, well, you know, Bill, we could really use your ministry out here on the West Coast. You ought to come out here. Just opened him right up, see. And we don't realize sometimes the little things like that.
The hurt.
That, and if that hurt was there all of those years.
Yeah.
And you know, Mike being a younger brother, and me being a younger brother, I understand that perfectly. Mm-hmm. I understand. I mean, my brother used to say stuff to me sometimes that, you know, I loved him, but at times I just about hated him, you know, because he was jealous of me, so he had a tendency that he would try to torment me sometimes, you know, with things he would say. And when I'd have a seizure, he'd say ugly stuff about that to me, you know. And he'd get me so mad that I literally would want to kill him. I mean, he'd get me that worked up. Then I'd have more seizures because I got all worked up and stuff, see. But, you know, and later on in life, you know, all of a sudden he wanted to be friends when we were older. Well, it was hard for me to be real friends with him. Mm-hmm. We did build a race car together and did things like that. But then guess what? The Lord had me work with him for 18 years. And he didn't honor his word on the things he said. And that anger would rise up in me every now and then, and rise up in me now and then. And then I'd have to say, Lord, please help me. Yeah. You know, and the Lord would, he would bring it back down. But you know, a couple of times I had to really lay into him and tell him some things, you know. And you know, he could have fired me at that time because I was working for him, you know. But he couldn't say anything because he knew what I was telling him was the truth, you know. But I had to open up and get that stuff out of me, because if I didn't, you know, I'd been carrying it forever, you know. But sometimes, you know, even with something like that, then when he was passing away, when he was in the hospital, he was telling me in the hospital different times, I've done some terrible things in my life. I just don't know if God can believe me, forgive me. I said, brother, he's forgiven you. He forgave you on Calvary. You know, you just got to accept the forgiveness, you know, stuff like that. And it's funny how God will put you back in situations to where you got to deal with those things. And sometimes it's not easy to deal with it. I don't try to sugarcoat the things that happened between us, you know. You know, he was like 3 years older than me, you know. So when we'd get into a fight or something, up until the time I was about 15, 16 years old, then I could pretty well give him what for, you know, and then he backed off and there wasn't no more fights after that. you know, but, and he was a fighter. He liked to fight with people, always wanted to fight somebody and stuff. But you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, all of this stuff, it goes full circle, you know, in our lives. And we have to learn to let go and to forgive and to do those things, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if we have a lot of anger and all those things, those are not really of the Lord, you know. But he'll let you know they're still there, and he'll put you in situations where it'll come rising up to the top. And it's like, you know, him sitting as a refiner's fire and fuller soap in us, where he brings the dross to the top. A lot of times we try to push the dross back down because we can justify our anger or say, well, dang on it, God did this to me or that or whatever, you know. But with him, there's no excuses, you know. He went to the cross like a lamb to the slaughter.
Yes.
And says he opened not his mouth, you know. He took on all of the sins of the whole world. And yet, what did he say on Calvary when he's being crucified and he's dying on the cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was the humanity in him saying yes. that, you know, because he was suffering just like we would suffer, you know, if same type of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's pretty neat when you think about it.
No man could have lived through the beating and all that they did yeah. to him, yeah. but he was unrecognizable. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But he did not give up the spirit. He did not get, you know, his spirits, well, he stayed alive through it all.
Yeah.
All that suffering and all mm-hmm. that
right.
for us as us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you see these movies and stuff that supposedly depict him and all this and that, it says in the scripture that his vestige was marred above
that's
any
right.
man. Mm-hmm. Well, that means that he was beaten worse than anybody. You know, could be, you know what I mean. Now, you know, so whatever that entails, we don't really understand, and we probably, I don't know if we ever will unless he lets us, you know, lets us see it, actually
yes.
understand it totally.
Oh.
But, you know, it's, I think about that a lot with that little story about the brother, you know, mm-hmm. because we've all got somebody who's hurt us or said something to us that we've maybe still got down under the surface, you know.
You know, Oscar, every time I hear that story, it makes me cry.
Yeah, it does. It touches your heart.
All
because,
of those things happen to all of us.
Yeah.
Even if it's something that you haven't got a conscious memory of, it hits that button of the emotion in you if you're receiving it correctly. Now, if you're still hanging on with a lot of resentments, when you hear something like
yeah.
that, if you're not allowing God to deal with you, well, you know, they don't understand.
You start justifying your anger.
You're still justifying the fact that they did
yeah.
you wrong, when you could just say, yeah, you know what, they did me wrong. They did Jesus wrong too. But I want to grow from it, and I want, I want it out of me. I want the resentments out and gone. I want even the hurt out and gone. And especially I want the relationship, at least on my side, fixed.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can't even, the one niece of mine, her mother was abusive physically, verbally, and all. And she ended up, and she lived with me for a while, about asking God to help you to forgive her, you know.
Yeah.
And God brought her to a place that she forgave her mother, but she couldn't have a relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever she was around her, her mother was still insulting and said things. And you know, in the end, her mother got sick.
Mm-hmm.
Who mothered her?
Right.
I can see her now, Erica. Mm-hmm. Makes me cry.
Well, that almost takes us right back to Matthew chapter 15, where it says, because out of the mouth, you know, and it says, what do you do with them? Let them go.
Yeah.
Let them go.
She ended up loving her mother.
Right.
I can see her now laying in bed with her mother, and she was mm-hmm. mothering and loving. Mm-hmm.
I
said, when God does a work, he cannot be outdone in your heart. And I see her now, and the peace that she had even before,
mm-hmm.
because she didn't forgive her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I couldn't have a relationship with her. She said, I'd pick her up, they'd go out to eat or something with her sister and that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm long going, because the
yeah.
mother, it would eventually say hurting things and that.
Mm-hmm.
But she said that God did a work. Her mother knew she loved her.
Yeah.
And her mother gave her heart to the Lord. And she really ministered to her mother before she passed.
But that's the way that the Lord does a lot of times. He'll the person that hurts you the most sometimes, he'll put you back in a position
mm-hmm.
to where you got to go love them and you got to go take care of them. I mean, you know, with my brother, his life was in my hands when I went to the hospital because I had power of medical attorney over him. And he literally was dying at one point.
Mm.
And the doctors and them, they called me and I run up to the hospital. I hadn't got there yet. And when I got up there, they said all of his vital signs are way, way down. And he said, mm-hmm. What do you want us to do? He has a DNR, you know, do not resuscitate. And I said, well, he said, you have, you know, medical attorney. And I said, well, I said, if there's anything that you can do without, you know, like putting stuff down his throat and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
I said, then that's okay. You can do that. He just doesn't want anything where he's going to be laying up for years and years and years on life support,
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff, you know. Well, then they brought him back, and he was back for a couple months, and he started getting better, you know. But then he started, he'd go in and out, up and down, up and down. And I honestly think he didn't really want to live, you know, because he was going to end up having to be on dialysis and a whole bunch of different things.
Yeah.
And I think he really didn't want to live because he was doing pretty good. His girlfriend talked me and Margaret into going to Florida because we already had that set up for almost a whole year to go there, you know, everything was taken care of. And I kept saying, no, we'll just stay. No, she says, I'm here, you know, and she had power of attorney over him too. You know, we both did. And she says, I'll be here every day, you know, go ahead, you guys go ahead and go. And he ended up dying while we were down there. And I tried to get back. I couldn't change plane tickets and a whole bunch of stuff, you know.
That's in the will of God.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
And ended up being Mark with him, you know. Well, Mark thought the world of Uncle Bubby, you know, especially when he was a kid, he did. And, you know, he loved Mark, too, you know. He loved him like a son, you know. Actually, was better to Mark than he was his own daughter. You know what I mean? And but you know, God knows about all that kind of stuff. He puts the right people, the right place, the right time, and everything, you know. And it all works out the way it's supposed to, you know.
Okay, you want to help us to close in prayer? Anybody feel it, or should I call somebody? Oscar?
Let me go. Okay. Father, we thank you for truly your words, our spirit, and their life. We thank you for what you're revealing to us, even out of the things we go through and the situations where we feel disappointment and even where we feel like we fail you at times, because there is no real failures in God. It's all learning. It's stepping up and raising into a higher realm in you if we'll just acknowledge your presence in the midst of it and know that you've got us all under control. We trust you. I ask you to just, anybody that hears this class today, let it minister to them. And if they've hurt anybody in any way, let them be willing to go and ask forgiveness. And if they've been hurt, let them be able to give forgiveness that they need.
Yes.
And Father, I just ask you to just let this word go forth mightily that's been spoken here today.
Yes, Father.
And let the anointing rest upon it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.